Wednesday, we visit with the mayors, and Mayor Carl Mooney's here this morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Scott. How are you?
Good. How many brackets you filling out?
I don't do that.
Oh, is that right?
No, okay. I stay away from it.
Okay.
But I do like watching the Cinderella teams get that three-point shot at the buzzer, some big guy who thought he was going all the way to the end.
Well, you know, speaking of big guys, of course, the guy's the coach now to Florida. But, you know, that guy from Stephen F. Austin who basically looked like a lumberjack. Zach, was that last year or 2 years
ago? It was a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember what his name was, but it's just great.
Walk up.
Yeah.
His older brother played here.
Oh, that's right. He did. I remember there was a connection there.
Yeah. Nathan.
Just, I like the idea of having a guy who looks like your mascot out there playing, you know? that's kind of fun. I don't know. Well, because I know that, you know, you were in athletic administration for a while. I thought you might do that. But
yeah,
you just like
to
sit back and watch.
Well,
it,
actually, when you're in athletics administration, the NCAA forbids you, I will put that in quotes,
from having any kind of interest
in that kind of thing.
So. We were just talking about that. The decals, Steve Miller was in yesterday talking about the decals that are going on the floor, but that's the least of what they have to do to make sure that the boys from Indianapolis are happy with us, right?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Okay, so, all right. Well, let's turn our attention, first, I guess, to the city, but actually when it has to do with the county, because yesterday the county commissioners talked about putting together a regional mobility authority.
That's right.
That, as they start butting up against the cities, there are challenges that have to be met there.
Well, yeah, a regional mobility authority would be something new for this area. It's not unusual to see it. You have it in other communities where they've been faced with growth. And a good example of one place where a RMA would be beneficial is Highway 6 right outside your windows here. As that continues to grow, what are we going to do? And for folks who are familiar with 290, as you go through Taylor, Elgin, and Maynard, out that way, you can see what's happened there. They've created a toll road of what used to be 290 and then put service roads on both sides. And we've got other places where that's going to happen. Fitch is eventually going to be like that. And if we were to have I-14 come along Highway 30, you could see where Fitch would be a natural area to make some changes. And we know that eventually it will change. The area that's grass now between the two roads that we think of as William Fitch will actually be where William Fitch is. And the roads that we use today will become the service roads. But to be fair to everyone, if you make that kind of transition, you have to have service roads that don't have tolls or anything like that. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to do tolls or anything of that nature, but an RMA, although it is not a taxing authority, it can do things like creating increment zones or incentive zones, however you want to call it, or TERS. And you can that way utilize the profits that you gain through taxes for those properties to go towards the cost of those roadways that are immediately in front of them.
Well, but even if it separately is not a taxing entity, and of course we're talking the county's business and they're going to have to decide this, even though that might not independently being a taxing entity, it will have a desire to have tax money available to it to make improvements. So that money's going to have to come from someplace.
It would probably want to do that. The main thing about an RMA is, and this is going to be crucial to not just Bryan and College Station, but as we grow, the other outlying communities, to get everybody together at the same table. Because independently, we're not going to be as effective as we would be collectively.
You know, say a second group has decided that they want to look at the old T-bone high-speed rail system, which, gosh, that goes back a long way. I can remember former Councilman John Happ talking with me about that years ago. We were talking about getting things down to the Gulf Coast to maybe be put onto ships and such, but the old T-bone system, and that looks to actually have a stop in College Station. I guess you saw that. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I participated in a number of those meetings years ago, and one of the attractions, of course, for us here in College Station is that it would have an actual College Station stop. It would not be as high speed because every time you stop, you're reducing
the longer the trip is going to be, right?
Exactly. So, but I think it's going to be interesting to see how this all shakes out. The fact of the matter is, here you have two entities now that are looking seriously at bringing some type of passenger rail service All right. Whether you want to call it semi-high speed or actual high speed, to the Brazos Valley. We're going to be a part of that. And rather than keep fighting it, I think what we need to do as communities and counties is to get together and say, okay, how can we do this with the least disruption without taking away properties? I know Central Rail, for example, has gone to an elevated rail, which makes a lot of sense. That way you're not ending roads all of a sudden in the middle of nowhere. You're not bisecting ranches and farms and so forth. But it's going to be a challenge for everybody to just acknowledge that despite the fact that a lot of us would like to still see things as we remember them back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, that is not going to be the case.
Yep.
We are just going to grow, and we can't put a Trumpian wall around the state of Texas.
A Trumpian wall. All right. So, well, and basically, you know, that's what I've got for this morning because it's kind of quiet. You do have, I know you have an annexation meeting that y'all are going to have, and but you had your meeting last Monday, and then you'll have one beyond that. So anything else that's kind of on your radar screen?
Well, Sunday, going back to walk with the mayor.
Oh, okay.
Bringing that back online. And we'll be over in the Glen Haven area. Going to start right at the old location for Scott and White. Some people will joke with me and say, is it the Papados site? that remains to be seen.
That's right.
But there is a good parking lot there, so folks don't have to park on the street. And we'll make that stroll starting at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, it's going to be warm. This week's going to be a warm one.
It will.
Yeah,
I may have to wear shorts again.
Yeah, you'll be in the 80s, apparently. So, we'll look forward to that. And then I touched just a little bit on the annexation so people will know. It's various areas in the southern south of the city, but talk about that just
a minute. It is. There's about 65 acres at various spots along the way, and we have had non-annexation agreements with a number of these properties, but now the time has come when those agreements have come to a close, and in some cases the owners themselves have said, you know what, it's really in our best interest to be part of the city at this point, because then we get all the city services, and it makes our ability to sell our properties that much more attractive. That's going to be a challenge for us as we go down south or go to the west and east a little bit. One of the things council is looking at, which is really a precursor to annexation, is extending its extraterritorial jurisdiction area to 5 miles. Right now it's at 3. And what that means is these are areas just outside the city's borders, but by identifying these as ETJs, it enables the city to talk to developers and such, and as they develop properties, to make certain that they are in compliance with the city's codes for building, roadways, infrastructure, etc., so that at some point in time, when they do, those areas do become a formal part of the city isn't having to go in and completely rebuild roads, completely redo water and sewer lines and so forth. So it's going to be in our best interest, really, to take a good hard look at that. I don't see a downside to being in the ETJ. It also better defines our service areas for fire and particularly fire EMTs, which we already do because we have agreements with the volunteer areas down there, and we'll keep doing that kind of service.
And so folks understand, if I recall correctly, it's been, I don't know, 35 years ago that the city's kind of sat down and said, I got dibs. We're going to, if we expand on this side. So if you ask, gosh, why aren't they expanding in this way? Those guidelines were already put in force decades ago.
Well, and for example, you know, to our northeast, we have an agreement with Brian as far as what areas they'll be able to have in their ETJ, because we do butt up. Our boundaries do butt up to each other. And that's been longstanding.
Yep, and so we built that. All right, well, thanks for the time this morning.
Hey, thank you.
You bet. Enjoy the rest of your spring break this week. Okay. Okay. We visit with mayors on Wednesdays. That's Carl Mooney from the City College Station.